This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Sound like Paul Heyman right now. ESPN New York, along with our partner London Jewelers, are giving you the chance to be in Cleveland when the boys from the Bronx, them boys, they call them Aaron Judge and them boys, come to town, including round-trip airfare, two-night hotel stay, and $200 in spending money. All right, head to London Jewelers near you to enter for your chance to win. You can also go to travelwiththehometeam.com or enter on the ESPN New York app. It's all brought to you by the engagement experts at London Jewelers. Visit London Jewelers today at any of their seven locations, including the newest location at the mall at Short Hills. For full contest rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com today. Peter and Don on a nice Monday. Like, cold, but not terrible outside.
No.
If you're not...
It's a decent day. It's a decent day.
If you're in the sun, you're in business. If you're completely in the shadows, like a creep, sort of like Michael's drop, if you know what I'm talking about.
We're getting there. We're starting to get... It's officially spring now, but we'll start to sense it. We'll start to feel it. And we really can't complain, considering how mild our winter ended up being.
Yeah, it hasn't been bad at all. It's hard to complain.
People still will, but you shouldn't.
Sorry, I was looking for Michael's I'm not a creepo, you're a creepo.
No, that's always a classic.
Well, I can't find it.
Can't find it.
No. I do remember this from last week, though.
Monica Nutt's been very good.
McNutt.
No, it's there.
Seriously, why does he have to yell at us every single time?
Because what he's really affectionate about, what he's passionate about, is language. But he seems to at least be nicer when he's correcting us verbally. But when we make a mistake like that with a name,
it makes
angry.
It makes no sense. It's deeply, deeply troubling that we have this sort of friendship with him. Will you play the one I was looking for over there, Jacob? Oh, no, he's running. He's running for me.
I'm not a creepo.
No, that's not it.
Yeah, that's an old one.
That's a weird I'm not a creepo. But I'm so stupid because I'm sitting here staring at all of them. And it's not this.
Oh, these guys have jobs and I don't. Ah, they're wrong.
That's the three seat in the funny region. Oh, here you go.
I'm not a creepo. You're a creepo.
That's a tough one. That's a very, very tough one. 1-800-919-3776. Let's get a little... We already have Don, so why not go get a little Dick? Richard?
Hi, Richard.
Hi, Don, Peter. Fellas, I got a question to ask you, but I have to lead up to it.
Okay.
So here's how we go.
Here we go.
We all know the NBA says you need a superstar or two superstars to win a championship,
sure they
correct?
Do. Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, who was the last superstar in the NBA, a Curry, a Zion, a LeBron, who was the last superstar to win an NCAA college basketball tournament to lead his team?
That's a great... I'm going to go...
But that's not the question.
Oh.
Go ahead.
No. So you're saying they're an NBA superstar?
That led his team, a current... Now, the last guy I come up with, and I question whether he's a superstar... would be Carmelo Anthony.
Hold on. Richard.
Yes.
How could you question that he's a superstar? He was
okay, let's say he is. Okay. To me.
Yeah, he is.
He was definitely right. A superstar.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so we
That's
go with
Carmelo.
That's the last
one, though? That is the last one?
Well, before that, I even got one even way before, and that's unquestionably a superstar, would be Patrick Ewing. So between Patrick Ewing in 1984 and now, the only guy you can tell me that's played in the NBA, that's been a superstar, that's led his college team to an NCAA championship would be Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah,
Curry, Seth Curry, any of these guys, James Harden, Kyrie Irving,
no,
any of them, Zion Williamson, any of them,
well,
zero.
So many of them are one and dones, too, so the amount of kicks in the can they
now,
got.
Here's the question. All right, so we've stated the facts and the problem.
Well, you'd be Larry Johnson, right, between Patrick Ewing. Larry Johnson was an NBA superstar.
Done? That's his
grandmama.
He was grandmama, dude. I mean, he did have commercials and a sneaker and was an all-star.
Listen, everybody's definition of superstar is different, but he was a star.
Don Mattingly category. You know, hurt his back. It was too much. Too short a career. Didn't do enough. Okay. Now, here's my question.
Mattingly was a superstar, too. Keep going.
Okay. Basketball is basketball, correct?
Correct.
That last I checked.
100% basketball is basketball, yeah.
Why is it that the NBA, you need one superstar or sometimes two, and in the NCAA tournament or in college basketball, you don't need a superstar? Why is that?
It's a vastly different game.
Way different game. It's more of, I think, a team-oriented game. I think it's more defense. Driven by coach.
Coach and defense, yeah. What, do you have an answer, Richard? Or you're...
No, I don't know. Maybe somebody callers will know. One last thing, Don. You doing the pregame ranger and postgame ranger and Kenny doing the play-by-play is the gold standard of listening to. I listened to the whole game last night, even though it was a blowout, just to wait for your postgame. Your pregame was wonderful. Kenny's game was great. And your postgame was the greatest. So when you do, when it's like that, Don, I'm not saying you're not a great play-by-play man, but you doing the pregame, postgame, Kenny doing the game, you can't top that. Always a pleasure.
Well, that means a lot. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Two things, Richard, that are important. Yeah. We did get a tweet for Anthony Davis winning
a
championship.
Okay.
And also, have you been like talking about sports all weekend long? You really sound like you needed a 48-hour break on using your voice right now.
Oh, yeah, it's a little sore, but I'm okay. I feel great.
That's all that matters. As long as
always a pleasure.
We're always concerned about your well-being, and I know you care about ours. listen, you don't play as many games. How many games do you play during the regular season?
Close to 30.
All right, and then you got the tournament. If you make a run,
it's another six.
You're talking about an 82-game schedule. Even with load management, you're playing you know, 65, 70 games, plus a best-of-seven series. It's a different world. It's a war of attrition, right? And, I mean, and if you're a big-time college basketball program, how many games of the 30 in the regular season you playing where there's a lot of heavy lifting? You'll have those conference games, you know, Duke, North Carolina, all that.
Well, let's say
half of them might be rollovers if you're a really good program.
If you're a good program, then in your conference, I'd say you're still going to have you'll have maybe 8 games over 10 games over the course of a season that are a really big challenge or a solid challenge. I mean, that's a fair way to put it.
Which means one big player can maybe carry that load. It's not long. You're talking about less than 40 games that you're playing. That's half of a regular season in the NBA. But in order to be able to go through an 82-game schedule, it's a sport where the higher seeds usually win, right? So you don't have those average teams that make run to the NBA. So if you want to be a top 1-2 team, you're taking the regular season pretty seriously, probably winning north of 60 games. It's going to take more than one guy to do that.
You're a very smart man, Donald. Let's talk to Sean, who has a concern. Sean from Irvington. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Good afternoon.
What's up?
First time, long time. Love you guys. Don, I'm telling you, I'm 45 years old. I'm a black man. I relate to you so much. And I'm telling you, to save your sanity, stop Jalen from watching the videos about the toys. It's a setup. It's just going to lead you down a rabbit hole, and you're going to be searching for toys, pulling out your hair.
I know. I know.
I'm telling you, I have a 13-year-old daughter. It took almost 7 years to break this cycle.
Wow. Are you serious?
I am dead serious.
Now, did the algorithm at least stay within toys? It didn't, like, get into anything weird, did it?
Not super weird. I mean, not super, super weird, but just annoying. It would be weird.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, super annoying. I'm talking about, like, crazy stuff, like families eating food together, playing with toys, just crazy stuff.
But you get silly things like you'll get a bunch of young guys dressed as cops pretending to put people in jail and feeding them chocolate or metal. And it's really, honestly, you'd say, why did somebody take the time to put this video out?
And
it's stupid.
And it'll have millions of views.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's probably got millions of views for the same reason. Our kids are looking at it and laughing at it.
Ugh, we're so doomed.
But I got to tell you,
we're so doomed.
There is that piece when he's on the tablet and she's on my phone, where you've just got the peace. They're okay. They're on the couch, and
that's how they get you.
That moment of peace to yourself.
That's the companies are all preying on that moment because they know parents need the break, so they go for the screen time. And I'm not blaming you. I'm not judging you. But they definitely know that is the thing. Hard question for you right now, Don.
Yes.
You have to choose right now. Smartphones are here or gone. What's your choice?
Gone.
Anthony, do you even know? Do you even remember anything pre-smartphones?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so if you had to choose right now for your future, the rest of your future and your future children that you and your make-believe girlfriend have, all that stuff, yes or no to smartphones?
I'd say yes.
Okay.
Just because I'm reliant so much on it. This job, too.
Jacob?
Absolutely, yes. It's been times I just get lost and I had to go straight to map. So, yeah, absolutely, I need it.
Well, the fact that the three of us could not read a map. Let's just be realistic. If it's not Google Maps, I wouldn't know how to read a map.
But society did march along fine without it.
Fine. All was good. Now, listen, there's some positive things. It gives voices to people who need one and otherwise wouldn't have one.
True.
There are good things that come from it. Absolutely. Raising money for people who need it. There are good things. But it's just I'm just talking about me. For me personally, if I could say I would not have to deal with, when I have children, us having to, like, fight with them over screen time or weird TikTok videos, I would love that.
Now, this might be me making an excuse.
Go ahead.
But I do think there is some value. I find that Marco and Jalen, I find that their hand-eye coordination is better than it was when I was 5 years old.
Okay.
I think I'm noticing Marco reasoning through things because of some of the games that he plays, like in real life. I think there is some value. But just like anything, you just can't do it too much. That's why it's okay to have them on the phone and on the tablet. You just got to be able to find parameters in which, all right, it's time to shut it off.
It's just hard.
All right, it's done. It's over. Best advice I can give to any new parents out there, give yourself a nice buffer between bedtime and computer time. Because if you think you're going to get them to bed like the second after they get off the computer, forget about it. So you got to give a nice hour buffer, wind down a little bit. But you know what our device was TV.
True.
Because usually what we do is, all right, let's watch a movie, let's wind down. That's what wired us up, you know, 50 years ago,
no,
was plopping
true.
Us in front of the TV.
It's true. It was... Let me put it this way, Don. Even when you watched a lot of TV, if your TV kept tabs on how long you watched it the way smartphones do, it would not say that you watched 8 hours today. There are people right now, if you go in your iPhone and look at the time you spent on your phone that day, it's going to tell you did it for 7 hours. It's wild. So I don't know. I have a lot of mixed feelings on this, as you can tell. Let's go to Naz in Queens. Naz, is this Nazir?
Hey,
not Nazir Jones. I've probably made this joke to you already, haven't I?
No, sorry, Pete. Every time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one day he'll call up, though.
I appreciate that. All right, what do you got for us?
I just wanted to throw Jalen Brunson's name out there as a superstar who won a national championship. And I also wanted to ask if Elijah Moore for Aaron Rodgers, straight up, is that a fair trade?
Probably not if you're the Packers.
It's great for the Jets.
It's great for the Jets.
Especially considering he doesn't want to play half the time.
Even if you like him as a player, you're going to have to ask for more if you're Green Bay. You're going to have to give up some draft capital. But if you're willing, and I've heard this talked about over the weekend, and we touched on it a little bit too, if you're willing to wait past the draft, then you're golden, right? Then you don't have to worry about the 13th overall pick. So you're only dealing with 24 and 25. And if you got Aaron Rodgers, you figure first-round pick is going to be pretty low. So if the Jets are willing to wait past April 27th, then does it really matter? If it's the 13th overall pick you're worried about, you're just going to have to wait till after the draft. Then there'll be no 13th overall pick to trade.
True. Very good point. Let's go to who's been holding the longest here. Let's go to Spike in St. Pete. What's up, Spike?
Hey, boys. Interesting program as usual. One quick comment on basketball. I think Philadelphia as may overtake your Celtics, Peter. This is nothing to do with my feelings of watching the Celtics wipe the floor with my team all my life. But the scene, and we know Marcus Smart, we've agreed on it, it's the heart and soul of the team. It just seems something's missing. I know you need your big guy back, but I got to tell you this, because this is winding down. This has been as ingratiating and wonderful, compelling is the word, season that the Knicks have had in a long time, and it certainly looks like it's going to be 4-5, which would be, in some means, poetic justice. But I have to tell you something that Richard said, Don, about the postgame. I had the same thing. You know I listen to you on hockey. I'm not a hockey fan. I'm a Don LaGreca fan.
Aren't we?
And your wrap up is the same as our friend Bill Daughtry. Bill used to do the pre-post for the Knicks, and he did a few play-by-play games over the years. And I wasn't at ease until Bill would say, after the wrap-up, which he did the same exact way, you knew the ebb and flow of the scoring and then the cut-ins and then the breaks, till he said, when it was a home game, and good night from the Garden. It's very – we like habits. We like the same thing. One last thing on the tablets and the kids. I remember my first phone, Peter. You probably weren't even born, or maybe you were, but I used to have to stop my car on the side of the road and go into the trunk and take something out that looked like a backpack. I mean, it was ridiculous.
That was my first phone, 1992.
Yeah, crazy. But the encyclopedia salesman who used to be, I'm sure they're few and far between, he used to tell me, the guy, I said, what'd you do for a living? I sold encyclopedia, either World Book or Britannica, I believe, were the two big ones.
Right.
And he'd say, it's kind of tough to stuff 18 volumes in your pocket. And it's sad, because I think it'll affect the concentration. I try to stay off of it. Obviously, the flip phone was the first thing we had, and it worked real well after the gigantic phone. But look, I'll wrap it up with basketball. The Knicks, they have an easy schedule. Cleveland Knicks is fortuitously with the Donovan Mitchell trade. It lends something. But something about this guy, Josh Hart, I got to tell you, and I told Larry yesterday, when he comes on the court, he's the one guy, 32 minutes plus 20, four shots. Hard to comprehend that. He's got a nose for the ball, and Hartenstein, and Mitchell made a comment, and I'll give him a pass on that. Hartenstein is a terrific interior player and a great rebounder, very strong, but when he was on the Clippers, he was a corner three shooter. And if you understand basketball, the corner three is the best shot in the game because it's 50% more than a layup or a dunk. So we'll see. But I can't wait for the playoffs, and I think the three best teams in the NBA are all in the East. I'd love to hear your comments on that.
I think that's fair. Is Denver better than Philadelphia? Sacramento better than Philadelphia?
Denver, you could argue, is better than Philadelphia. Sure, you can make the argument. Absolutely. And remember, Philadelphia tends to let down in the playoffs. That is sort of what this team has been about the last few years, unfortunately. I think Andrew Gundling would agree. And Sacramento has gotten really good at the right time. And they have Michael made this point a couple weeks ago after they beat the Knicks. They have players, man. Sacramento has players on that team. I don't know if I'd go as far as saying it. This is a no-brainer for the East. Listen, when Milwaukee was in the middle of the 16-game win streak, Don, they did seem absolutely unbeatable.
Right. Now, not so much.
Not so much. But Giannis is the one guy who, and this is why I probably side with the Giannis as MVP crowd. Giannis is the one guy to me who it seems absolutely, if he decides he wants to will himself to 40 points and 20 rebounds, he can.
Yes.
He's sort of a unique character in that way. So I probably lean towards Milwaukee at this point overall. But no, I don't rule out the teams in the West. There are a bunch of good teams in the West. I mean, you're telling me there's no chance that Phoenix, by the time the season ends, is gelling, or Dallas really gets to gelling.
Where would Dallas be? Where would Phoenix be if they had, you know, KD and Kyrie the entire season?
Right.
Would they be the two best teams in the West? Takes time to build the chemistry, and obviously they didn't have them before the deal. So they're a very dangerous team. How deep are you willing to go? We were doing this during the our meeting today.
Mm-hmm.
Denver, Sacramento, Dallas, Phoenix,
Clippers,
Memphis, if Ja comes back, Clippers. Do you go as far as Golden State?
I mean, they're still Golden State. I'm starting to not believe that that's possible.
Sacramento stinks.
What about if LeBron somehow comes back? Lakers have been fighting pretty hard to stay in the playoffs.
Stop.
If they get there and LeBron comes back, though, would you be utterly shocked if they went on a run? Shocked.
Yes.
I couldn't ever be shocked by a LeBron team.
I get it, and it's all the respect to LeBron, but he's at a certain age now. Some good teams he'd have to get through. Remember, everybody was buying in the bubble. Oh, well, Lakers are going to beat the Suns.
So interesting.
Remember that,
too.
And it didn't happen.
It's so interesting, too. Right now, the Lakers are sitting in the 10 spot. All right there. Tied essentially with Utah, who's out because of tiebreaker, okay? Or no. The Lakers have one more win. They have the exact same percentage. So I guess it's tiebreaker that has the Lakers in the 10 spot. But then, Don, they're only a game and a half behind Dallas to not even be in the play-in. That's how tight things are in the West. So you're telling me, let's suppose AD keeps fighting and they end up getting to the six, so they're not even in the play-in anymore, and LeBron comes back just before the playoffs. I wouldn't be utterly shocked if they beat the current three-seed Memphis.
No,
I can't be.
Especially with the Ja situation, but you said make a run. To me, run means conference finals.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't even know if I can see them win. Maybe Memphis.
The order, by the way, is currently in the West: Denver, Sacramento, Memphis, Phoenix, Clippers, Mavericks. Then for the play-in, you have Warriors, Thunder, T-Wolves, Lakers, and then the Jazz right there on the outside. And by the way, the Pelicans right behind that. God, the only three teams who are basically completely out, and Portland's only 3.5 out of the play-in, is Portland, San Antonio, and Houston. By the way, isn't that crazy, Don? Think about how crazy basketball is. The idea that the three playoff teams definitively out in the playoffs are Portland, San Antonio, and Houston. Those are the teams who
right.
are definitively in the playoffs,
every
15
year.
Years.
I know. Incredible, right?
What a wild
nothing lasts forever.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Got another hour of voting.
Yeah, just under an hour left voting at TMKS ESPN on your Twitter vehicle. ENN coming up at 6 o'clock. And let's hear from Craig in New Jersey. What up, Craig?
Hey, what's up, guys? Don, Peter, how are you?
How you doing?
What up?
I wanted to tell you guys that I heard what you guys were talking about before. I'm pulled into March Madness now since Princeton's doing well. I'm from New Jersey, and I want to watch that. Don, I'm a huge Ranger fan, die hard. I love listening to you call Ranger games.
Thank you.
And I want to say that I think the Rangers are going to be dangerous in the playoffs. They're finally starting to gel, and I think you guys should talk about hockey a little bit more.
We will come playoffs for sure. But we did. We opened the show. They were part of the open. Peter, when you make a deal in any sport, I think people want instant gratification.
They get
Tarasenko, scores his first game against Seattle. Mm-hmm. Then it's a little slow. Kane comes over. All right, they started winning, but you know, it was a little bit slow. And now as they get into it deeper, more games, more minutes, now it's starting to flow. They're getting hot at the right time. There's still 12 games left. They could finish in second. Heck, they've got two games up against first place Carolina. They win both of those games clean. They can draw within two, and who knows, maybe have a chance to win this division. So maybe they're peaking at the right time.
Let's go to Bill in Pennsylvania. What's up, Bill?
Well, first of all, good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine and dandy, sweet as candy.
Wow, strong.
Peter, I got a good story to tell you about in the wrestling world.
All right, love it.
I got to know and become good friends with Lea Maivia, the queen.
Oh, yeah, of course. Sorry, Lea Maivia is the wife of the High Chief?
Yes.
And so everyone out there, the High Chief, Peter Maivia, was a big wrestler in Hawaii and then on the West Coast in San Francisco, and he is also the grandfather of a man named Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So
oh, there you go.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, the story I tell you, it happened down in Florida. If you've learned about some of the wrestling business, there's a place called the Sportatorium at 106 North Albany Street.
Okay.
It's a historic place where a lot of great wrestling took place.
Is this where the Grahams ran out of?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Keep going.
Well, one show, there was an idiot announcer by the name of Shannon J. Rose was playing games with woman. Or you just talking about woman a lot, who was then dating a fellow named Kevin Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, that night, I was driving the MIV. We were down there in the auditorium.
Okay.
And Mr. Sullivan threw a center block at this kid's head.
Oh, my God.
I didn't expect that.
Chased him around the ring, around the arena. He was crying his little eyeballs out, and he went past us. And Lea Maivia said, "Leave that boy alone." And he said, "Get out of my way, old woman." He said, "Leave that boy alone, I kick your ass." And she kicked off her sandals and was ready to fight him. And he just powdered out of the ring and we left back to the dressing room. And that's a story I've been trying to share with people. And if you ever run into The Rock, please share that with him.
I appreciate that.
A nice icebreaker.
Yeah. You know, I heard this story. Well, you also have to understand, and I know not a lot of people do understand what just happened, but The Rock show, Young Rock, Lea, I don't know if the gentleman watches it, Lea Maivia is like a major character on the show.
Okay.
The show's amazing, by the way. I mean, I know that as a wrestling fan, I enjoy it more probably than if you had no interest. But either way, it's an amazing show and kind of sort of a historical document. Let's go back to another WBC call. We got Christian on the line in Miami. What's up, Christian?
What's going on, Peter and Don? If you give me a few moments, I want to wax poetic about you guys.
Oh, please. I'm not like Michael. I love when people wax poetic about me.
Well, first, Peter, since you're kind of the newcomer still because you've only been there for 6 years, I think you bring that eclectic versatility to the show, and I think you're awesome, dude. And I've always listened to you in the Hot 97, so big ups to you. But it's really more for Don.
Of course it is.
He's the elder statesman. I have a lot of respect for him. Don, this is my list to you. I know you may not agree, especially maybe not Peter, but it's you, Dave Rothenberg, and yes, Mike Frances of one of the best New York sports hosts that I've ever heard on the radio. So thank you, man, for everything you contributed because you made me so entertained every time I go home.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Thank you. That's good company. So, I like that.
Some better than others. Keep going.
Anyways, listen, I am pretty much an advocate for the WBC. I love what TJ was talking about previously. Definitely a cultural thing that definitely brings a lot of people to the crowd. But what I had a problem with was Michael's comments was a little bit too antagonistic. Is, you know, if it is a glorified exhibition, how come I never heard him say anything, I mean, remotely close to the All-Star game? He has no disdain to that. You know, I just didn't get it. You know, and I was actually there, guys, when Puerto Rico played in DR. It was a rock concert. So I just hope Michael would – hopefully he'll change his mind. I would invite him to go to one of those games and see hopefully he would change his mind.
Well, I don't know if you heard us – thanks, Christian. I don't know if you heard us mention it earlier. He did put up a tweet over the weekend basically conceding that he sort of undersold. You would take it that way, right, Don?
Yes.
He kind of admitted that he undersold the WBC, and he said that after seeing the electricity, he directly said, "I'm in." So I think he got on board. And I think, you know, Don was arguing from a place of principle why he thought Michael was wrong. I was arguing from a place of principle and also watching at that time the clips that were moving around on social media. John Boy was posting a bunch.
Right.
ESPN, was, like different places were posting a lot and just looked electric. And then this weekend when I really dove in and watched a couple games, it's pretty hard to deny it.
Listen, Michael was not alone in his opinion.
No,
I watched social media when Diaz went down. There were a lot of people, significant people in this business, who all felt that he went down during a worthless, meaningless tournament. How can that happen to the Mets? And I think some of those people probably still stand by what they said. But I think other people woke up to the fact that this isn't quite as meaningless as maybe they thought, and that their opinion doesn't matter nearly as much, because you might think it's meaningless, but take a look at those players. Remember, he got hurt celebrating a victory because that's how much he wanted to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not making any money. His pride of country, pride of the flag on the hat. And I think in the business of sports, where it always seems to be about the money, where a player signs and putting super teams together to be able to get that money and get that championship so they can make more money down the road, to do something for the love of the game, I think it's just so rare it should be celebrated, even if you're not interested in it.
Instead, we're so busy saying, pie that mien has miani.
And complain all the time about it.
That's not right. I agree with you. And Ed in Montclair. What's up, Ed?
How you doing? Love you guys, Peter.
Thanks, man.
Don, love both. And before comments about the WBC, first, Don, got to tell you, I'm 55 years old, also like you. Grew up in Jersey. I love Tarantino films. I love classic rock. And I also love old TV shows, you know.
Okay.
Good Times, Odd Couple. And I just watched three episodes of Quincy. And I got to tell you, I would rather watch a podcast with Aaron Rodgers interviewing Kyrie Irving about why they're so great than another episode.
Oh, well, we agree to disagree. I find the show fascinating. Wow. I wanted to be a medical examiner when I was younger. No. You know,
doesn't he always seem to be a little sanctimonious? That it's always, and Don, I love almost everything else, so all your other takes. I love your list. I agree with them. But he's a bit
preachy. He spend a lot of time on the soapbox, Quincy. No question.
Yeah.
He should spend a little bit more time in the examining room and a little less time in the soapbox preaching all his politics and everything.
Oh, but is there a lot of politics in there?
Oh, yeah. Like I told you, there's an episode on gun control. There's an episode on Nazis and anti-Semitism. It's like ripped from today's headlines. That's why I love what's going on with the show. But, you know, it's not for everybody.
Yeah, you may be the reason Quincy's airing still.
I think, you know what that guy, his problem is that he was used to Jack Klugman as Oscar Madison, the comedic foil.
And it doesn't work for
him. And the Odd Couple, and now he's a serious medical examiner. You gotta, and it's like, whoa, is this guy?
And I always say, you got to let Klugman cook. Let's go to Kyle in Tom's River. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey.
Good, and yourself?
Not much. Pretty good. I just had a question for Don.
Yes.
Don, I'm new to hockey and Devils fan from last year. And we've came from nothing to something.
Yes.
And the question is, sometimes we talk about the Rangers, and I understand you're the voice of the Rangers, and I get it. You kind of gloss past the Devils kind of like they are a out-of-town team, so to speak.
Well,
I was wondering what your take is on that with the young guys, with Jack Hughes. Dawson,
well, listen, I grew up a Devil fan, okay? I grew up a Devil fan, and I support them because I want all three local hockey teams to be good so we can talk about them. But, you know, it's difficult enough to talk hockey on the show. And
yeah, I get that.
Most of the time it's going to be about the Rangers. But I think the Devils have had a phenomenal season. And Jack Hughes, although he's slowed down just a bit, is still a phenomenal player. But we play the hits here, and, you know, the Devils just don't have the fan base that's going to get – you know, a lot of ratings talking about him a lot, but that's why I got my Game Misconduct podcast. I talk about him there. I'd be worried about them making a run, Peter, because just like with the Knicks, they're very inexperienced. And they've had a phenomenal year, and you can't ignore it. I'm not in love with their goaltending. I'm not in love with their inexperience. But could they make a run? Sure, they can make a run. It's just a shame that it looks like the Rangers and Devils will have to play each other
which means one of these teams is going to be out in the first round, which kind of stinks, but they can make a run. I just don't know if they're at the level of the Rangers because of the experience factor. And let's face it, if the Rangers had, you know, Tarasenko and Kane and Mikkola and Mott all year, I think they'd probably be better than the Devils are.
And this isn't the words of Don, just me. I was just talking about this earlier with Jacob and Anthony. Also, the problem with covering sports that aren't essentially football, basketball, or baseball, when you start getting into hockey and then MMA, etc., the people who... Don, would you agree to some extent, you're reaching a smaller audience who cares, and a lot of the members of that audience who cares think you're a cat, not you, but the second Michael and I weigh in any way, they instantly complain that we're casuals and don't watch. So you end up not pleasing the broader audience,
right,
and then the niche audience hates on you for what you say. So it can end up being a very unrewarding thing to talk about, in my opinion.
But what I would suggest to every Devil fan, Islander fan, and to a certain extent Net fan, who always feels disrespected too, instead of calling, spending 80% of your conversation about how you never talk about my team, just talk about your team. Just come on and talk about the Devils. Don't complain about it. You got through. Ask a question. Make a comment about the team.
We don't see Devils call and not answer it. In fact, we have another Devils call to get to shortly.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Adolis Garcia with a solo shot. Blue Jays, two-run shot. Sorry, Rangers, I should say, up 5-3.
4-3.
No, it's a two-run. Oh, it's 4-3 now?
They were down 3-2.
They were down 3.
It's a blowout.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's unbelievable.
That one's really rolling.
I usually
don't
like to comment on this because I want you to continue to vote. But we're very close, about 30 minutes away from voting closing. 31 minutes, actually. And Peter's score update is up 91-9.
Yeah, that's
over Peter
Kevin. That's a big boy. That's
I don't know if we've got the numbers. Andrew might have taken them away when he left. I don't know how many drops have won by 90%+.
Yeah, it's
got everything you want, really.
Yeah, people love the big continuous mistake drops. That's what a flub's all about. And so you can still vote, and you should head over to TMKS ESPN on Twitter. And the answer, by the way, is yes, indeed. Yes Network does have a TikTok and quite a few followers. So it would be nice. I didn't really go through the TikTok that much. What's your prediction, Don? Do you think there's any presence of the K Show on there? Or
no.
Do you think it's only Yankees and Nets?
I think it's only Yankees and Nets.
It is only Yankees and Nets. And when I say Nets, I see one Nets post. Everything else is Yankees. Oh, no, there's a Nets one that did well. So, yes, we would love to get some K-Show content up on the old Yes Network TikTok.
You made a good point about my rants. I would just like to see how it would do.
Don, when I post I posted your rants a couple times with no context places.
Right.
Even with no context and reaching random audience, it does well.
Okay.
So, yes, we would like that. It'd be kind
of... I don't
want
to throw more, you know, work on you guys, but...
Well, they're already making posts. It's not like they're not editing posts. They're editing posts. They look good. They know what they're doing. Anthony, you said we have the closest matchup of the tournament thus far?
Absolutely, and naturally, of course, it involves Don Drops.
And okay, what is it?
They're in the troubling region. Right now, the 11 seed.
Which is...
Change directions. Easy organizations.
Oh, no.
Change directions.
Oh, no.
Is leading 51.7% to 48.3%.
They double team poor Gary.
Against poor Gary.
Listen, it's not because I'm coughing up a lung, okay?
It might be why.
Peter's showing his concern. It's a fun drop. We all think it's great.
We love it.
Yeah, jocularity. But double teaming Gary doesn't deserve to go out this early. It just
Don,
doesn't.
Don, do not try to influence.
No, listen, why can't I? What's it going to hurt? I'm sorry. Is there money on the line? Vegas involved? I have an affinity, as anybody with ears, for that amazing double-team Gary.
They double-team poor Gary.
So,
but I
show
love,
it some love.
I love double-team Gary, but I'm just going to say this.
Easy organizations change directions.
Oh, no.
See, that, it, doesn't deserve
it has a lot.
It has a lot, but you know why it doesn't deserve to move on?
Why?
Because in 5 minutes, there could be another one.
I know, but the time there was. Listen, I've heard you cough and get choked up 1,000 times. But that one is like you're stumbling down a hill of coughs.
Right.
And you can't catch control.
It's good.
And then the me going, oh, no.
Right.
Instead of yelling at you like Michael would, my own no sounds the concern.
Okay, so you've played the choking down the hill or road or whatever. Why don't you throw the Gary out there one more time for the people?
This is the one that Don believes is your real winner.
They double team poor Gary.
Come on. We're talking about a legend in Gary Cohen.
I got to tell you, if this
double
one,
teaming,
if this one finished 50-50 and was decided by a handful of votes, I wouldn't be surprised. It's that great a matchup. So make your voice heard. This is an important issue. Let's go to Rami, who wants to defend Michael in Denver.
All right.
Talking about the WBC. What do you got?
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys. Yeah, I just, you know, I heard Michael elaborate on what he thinks about the WBC, and I admit, like, thinking back about it, what he said about the glorified exhibition, that was wrong. Like, it was the wording wasn't right. But, like, where I really agree with him is, like, specifically people that, you know, make their national identity their everything. Like, they make it all about them. And that's kind of what the sports, you know, like, the WBC kind of signifies.
And what's wrong with that?
Yeah, I mean... So is it better? Well, it's better to be all about the team that pays you than the place that you're proud to be from?
No. And I should have said, like, I have nothing, like, you know, you should be proud of where you're from, but it's just like the overemphasis on it, rather than what you've done in life, you know, to be better than someone else, for example.
Well, you got to realize something that we don't have to worry about, okay?
Yeah.
Is that there are people that live in other countries that love the country that they're in, but want a better life, so they come here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very difficult decision because they love their country, but they realize there's only so far they can go. And if you're a ball player and you live in Venezuela or Puerto Rico or Mexico, you realize if you want to live your dream, you got to come to the States, you got to play in MLB. So it's not a choice of I'd rather live in the USA. It's this is where I need to be to forward my career. So you leave your country, but your love for it never disappears. And now an opportunity presents itself to go out there and represent your country and show how much you love it. So we don't have to make that decision here because most of our dreams are here. But imagine if whatever we, let's say radio, radio's our love, right?
Ray-ro.
But in order to get to the pinnacle of radio, for whatever reason, you had to go to Italy. Like, that was the pinnacle of radio. And we made the decision, we want to be the pinnacle of radio, we're going to go to Italy. Doesn't mean that we love Italy more than the United States, but we want to forward our career. Think how much you'd miss your country and the opportunity you jump at to represent it. That's what we, put yourself in their shoes. That's why it's so important to them. They left the place. Now they've got a chance to represent it.
Yeah, I just think it's a totally different perspective. I promised Lasha quickly in Atlanta. What's up, Lasha?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Thank you for having me on.
Oh, yeah, Yes has gotten into the TikTok game, and they've released their first video. So
of us.
It's out there.
Okay,
thank you. It's an old rant of mine.
See, there
a
we
classic.
Go. Lasha, what do you got?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Two questions. One is baseball. If you guys were the commissioners, how would you create more parity in the game? I think that's the number one reason why they're losing fans. That has nothing to do with the pace of play. And then the other question is regarding to hockey. How far do you think the doubles can go? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Well, my only concern, as I mentioned before, is there's two things. They're goaltending and they're just lack of experience. But we've seen team make runs before. So would I be shocked if they made a run to the conference final? No, I wouldn't say I'd favor them to do it. But I wouldn't be shocked. They've gotten some tremendous offense. They've got incredible speed. They're a very difficult, tenacious team to have to play. As far as parity, to me, Peter, is a salary cap. Now, they've done everything with the revenue sharing and all that, but and the threshold and all the money, but if they really wanted true parity, Peter, I think you'd have a cap.
Yeah,
you wouldn't have this disparity in salaries between teams.
Thank you for the call, Lasha. And real quick, because we're going to Ian and this guy's been on hold. Will, sorry to rush you. Real quick, tell me your questions, and I'll tell you the answers on the flip side, but when we start ENN, what do you got?
Will from Dumont.
Yeah, that's right, Will from Dumont.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Pete Don, good to see you. Just real quick. So, Pete, big fan of yours and following you around everywhere. I love you on Hot 97, GP.
Thanks, man.
And ESPN.
So just a hypothetical three-part question. You have to plan three consecutive Saturday nights on the town, and you have to take one co-host from each of your endeavors.
Okay.
ESPN and Hot 97, one and only one co-host, and three athletes, rappers, or wrestlers to enjoy one night only, night on the town with Peter Rosenberg. Who would they be?
So one co-host from each of my shows, and then three athletes or wrestlers or rappers.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.